This is episode 218, recorded August 25th, 2014.
Greetings, Aquamaxers.
We have terrifically exciting news for you today. So, I think we need a drum roll. Okay, Russ is going to tell you.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell him.
Well, you did it.
Okay, they already know what it is, though.
I know, but it's still so exciting!
The book is officially out.
On Amazon.com.
An Aquamax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Available from the Kindle bookstore and Amazon.
And we're working on other formats, too.
Yes, but we've got that one out for now.
So you can get it from there.
Uh-huh. And it...
We'll put a link up to where you can go to buy it.
Oh, all kinds of links.
Yes, we'll make a Facebook page announcement and everything.
Yes. So you'll be able to go on our Facebook page and get to it. You'll be able to go to the show page and get to it. Probably put it on the main Aquamax page.
I'm sure.
We'll put it on the YouTube channel. We'll put it all over the place. Mm-hmm. We'll tweet it on Twitter.
So if you've ever wanted to know the deepest, darkest secrets of Grindelworms, or what is in the heart of a Daphnia, this is the book for you. Or at least, you know, how to keep them alive so you can feed them to your fish.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know that there's really a whole lot of gossip in there.
No, not much. But
it's really good info.
It's ready. And it's a book, and I wrote it.
You totally did. And it's really exciting. We're so exciting. And plus, you guys get to hear about it first. And right now, it's only $2.99. That's a penny less than $3, which is probably cheaper than your morning coffee.
Probably.
So, you should get it while it's cheap now, in case the price goes up later.
Even if you don't want to keep live foods, but you just think, hey, this might make an interesting sort of read, or you think, wow, that doesn't sound interesting at all to read, and I'm never going to keep live foods, but I like Aquamax, so I want to buy that book anyway.
Yes,
you could do that.
And if you feel so inspired after reading it, feel free to leave a review on Amazon.
Yeah,
that would be really cool.
It would be very cool. If you do a search, you go to the Kindle bookstore and just do a search, and you type in live foods, it comes up like third on the list, I think.
What happens if you search for Aquamax?
Oh, I'm sure if you add Aquamax to that, it'd come up right at the top.
Okay.
If you put in live foods,
it'll bring it up.
And none of them, at least the ones ahead of it, are not about fish. They're about people who eat like raw food.
Raw food.
That kind of stuff. So, anyway, it's there, and we hope you get it.
I just had a very funny image of, like, raw foodist downloading that book thinking they were getting food people recipes.
Well, if they look at the pictures on the front cover, they probably will understand that it's not
well,
the people.
Well, they might think that the springtails are sprouted wheat. From a distance, they look like sprouted wheat.
What about that big old Daphne on the cover?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they would think it was saying that they're going to be avoiding parasites. I have nothing against raw foodists. I eat plenty of raw food myself, which is why I can make jokes about it.
Yeah, I eat raw food too. But
yes.
Anyway, we would like you to check it out if you want to. Keep in mind that it's in a Kindle edition, which means you can read it on a Kindle, of course, but you can also read it on lots of other devices, because a lot of other devices will allow you to download Kindle content if you just have the Kindle app. So if
you don't have to buy the actual Kindle device.
No, you don't.
That's fancy.
I have the Kindle device on my iPad, so iDevices, iPhones, mm-hmm. iPads, and so on will allow you to do it. You can do it on what else? Lots of other devices will allow you to download the Kindle app. PCs, laptops, all kinds of stuff.
Okay, so there's lots of ways to get it.
Many, many different ways that you could read the book. Many different devices.
And we will, of course, let you know when it's up in other formats.
Mm-hmm. But we're pretty excited about it, and we hope you will be too.
Mm-hmm. So it's got links to videos. If you get it and you read it, you know, let us know what you think.
Yeah. It's got photographs of animals.
It has fancy new videos made only for the book. That it has the link in the book, and you click on the link, and it goes to the fancy video.
Yeah.
So that helps explain things better.
It's kind of fun. So mm-hmm. we hope you check it out.
It's an interactive book.
Yeah.
And although we didn't put in, like, you will know it is time to turn the page when you hear
the amphipod hop like this. Doink!
Yeah. No, we should have. Maybe we should have done that. Maybe second edition we'll do that.
Oh, maybe so. I don't
know. Aquamax Kid Guide. We could do one of those.
Well, we are hoping that this will be the first of many books.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been a long road.
But now it's done.
Yeah, so.
So, that is your very exciting news for the day.
And you know, Aquarimax really inspired this book.
Tell us how.
We started Aquarimax to talk about live foods.
That's true, we did.
The first few episodes were just on live foods. And then we thought, hey, this is branching out into other directions, and so we went with that. But at the same time, live foods has always been something that I've done for years and years and years since I was a little kid. And kind of...
And you still sell them.
I still sell them online and things like that. So this is coming back to that. It's kind of fun. But if it hadn't been for Aquarimax, I never would have written it.
So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. So thanks, Aquarimaxers everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Aquarimaxers everywhere, we have two today.
From everywhere?
No, only from two places.
Okay. That's a start.
Mike in Oregon, who's been giving us Google Voice messages. He has another Google Voice message for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean in Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay. Well, let's start out with Mike's Google Voice message.
Hey, Aquarimax. It's Mike from Oregon again with the cichlids. Hey, I just listened to your last show, and I wanted to let you know that, yeah, we intend to get more cichlids. We know that two is not a good idea for the long run, and past experiences with fish have told me that, you know, that it's good to have a quarantine tank. So what I'm thinking is I'm going to do the fishless cycle on the 20-gallon and then maybe get like a beta or something, just kind of, you know, get the tank going, you know, get it cycled, get the beta in, everything looks good, put the beta in a bowl, get my pH and my temperature up, and then order some female African cichlids, and you know, do the quarantine thing with them, and then start introducing them. But I think I can only do like two at a time. You know, what I'll do is I'll get a tank divider and I'll order two females, put them in there, make sure everything's okay, you know, and then order two more. And then once I've got the amount of cichlids I need in my main tank, in the 125-gallon tank, then I will lower the pH in the 20-gallon and lower the temperature and reintroduce the beta into the fish tank. So anyway, I was kind of wondering if you guys thought that was a good, if that was a good plan. I'm really kind of leery about just putting fish directly from the store into my tank, you know, because I've in the past I had guppies and I've had issues with ick and stuff, and so I really want to do a quarantine tank. So let me know if you think that's a good way to go, if a beta would be a good fish for that sort of thing. I'd be interested in hearing your guys' thoughts on that. Okay? Once again, thanks for all the help. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Well, first of all, I do agree, Mike, that quarantine is important. It really is, and I prefer to do it generally. It is definitely the safest method. There have been occasions when I have weighed my options and thought about the risks, and I have foregone the quarantine period on occasion, but in general, I have not. I appreciate it, and I think it's a good thing to do, and I've never regretted doing it. It's a lot safer than in the alternative, and there have been occasions when I have regretted not doing it. So, yes, I do agree. Quarantine is important. I also think it's great that you've been sending us Google messages.
We love those.
The Google Voice messages, yeah. We love those. They help make the show more fun to get
so,
a variety,
you know, don't worry
of
about,
so
oh, I'm talking too long or anything. You're fine.
No, we're glad you're doing it. And we're also glad you got that big tank and that you know that two's not going to work out in the long run and that you're thinking of some options on how you might get the tank stocked. Now, in terms of being careful with cycling, it makes a lot of sense to introduce fish slowly. The only thing
said,
is...
Did he not have the 20? No, he had the 20.
He has the 20, but he's going to do a fishless cycle, which is great.
Because that's
awesome.
What he first contacted us about, that it wasn't cycling, right?
Right. And so he's going to do the fishless cycle on that, which is great. I totally agree that that would be an awesome thing to do. And then he was thinking of putting a beta in, like you said, and once it cycled, and then he could take it out and put fish in two at a time. The divider is a good idea in that it will keep the two fish from beating on each other.
I have a question before we go any further. Mm-hmm. If the tank is already cycled, is the beta just for fun?
I think the beta is going to be there partly for fun, but partly to keep the tank cycled.
Will it stop being cycled?
Yes. That was his problem in the first place. He had a tank that had been empty for a while, and so the bacteria ran out of food and they stopped processing.
Oh,
and so
you mean he's going to cycle it...
First, fishlessly.
But if you put the cichlids right in it, it wouldn't stop being cycled. It's just if he leaves them out for a while.
Right.
Okay.
If you leave the tank empty for a while. So, it's a good idea to, you know, keep something living in it to keep it cycled. That's one way to do it. You could also just fishlessly cycle it in between and then just make sure you do a water change, a big water change before you put another fish in there. And it would answer the purpose. But if he wants to get a beta, he could do that. The thing is, the bio load that a beta produces is not near as much as a couple of cichlids will do.
Mm-hmm.
It might still be enough, depending. I mean, you know, it'll certainly be better than nothing. But you might get a little bit of an ammonia spike when you get two heavy-bodied cichlids in there. It also depends on how big they are. If they're babies when you do it, it's not so bad. The only thing that I would say is that if you're putting two in at a time, every time you put two in, until you get past a certain number, the possibility of territoriality coming out, especially the lower the numbers of fish in the tank. So right now when you have two, the next two you put in are going to bear the brunt of the aggression of the two resident fish.
It will be cichlid hazing.
Yeah. And then...
they will be the freshman fish.
Because there will only be two... there will only be four in there and two new ones... they might get severely damaged. And then there's those two that are friendly right now, and they may decide at any point not to be. But each time you put two in, the dominance hierarchy is going to suffer some shocks, and things could change, but all sorts of weird things could happen. I would say once you've got a robust cycle going in the main tank, and you know that you do, one thing to consider doing is just to get six younger, much younger fish and put those in the 20-gallon tank that's been fishlessly cycled. And then when they're ready to go, put them in. Rearrange the decor. And with six in there, especially if they're younger and smaller and they can hide in more places, that's going to be a little better than just putting two in, because you'll get to the aggression will be a little bit... divided among the six instead of just focused on two. Or even more than that, if you can get them when they're big enough not to be eaten, but you know, you put 8 or 10 in there at a time and you do that a couple of times instead of doing two and then two and then two and then two and then two.
Right.
That would what I would suggest. Just, but your other ideas, I would totally go with that in terms of using the 20-gallon after it's been fishlessly cycled to quarantine them. A great idea. And if you want the that 20-gallon tank to be the home of a beta, I think that works fine. I mean, we kept Gwen's bed in that 20-gallon, and it was essentially the only fish
in
there.
Did we tell them?
About what?
About Coral.
I think we have.
We did tell them that
he
passed
away. After about
3 years
of life.
Yeah. He was an ancient beta.
He was a pretty old beta. 3 years is pretty good. There are some that live longer, but...
he was just, you know, kind of a common veil tail pet store beta.
Well, he wasn't a veil tail. No, he was a...
Oh, no, he wasn't
a
veil tail.
He was a delta
tail,
or a half moon or something. I don't remember which one, but
he was a nice fish. He wasn't, like, crazy show fish with, like, 5-year lifespan pedigree or anything. So he did a really good job.
Yeah, he was a nice fish. And anyway, you could totally keep it in 20-gallon. That'd be fine. I'm curious about the temperature that you're planning on keeping the African cichlids at and the beta too, because you mentioned changing the pH, which, you know, if you have African cichlids prefer a higher pH, and if you have a way of keeping the pH high and stable, that will be better for them. For example, if you put some of the substrates, the pH buffering substrates in there, that would keep the pH fairly high while you're keeping the African cichlids in there, and then removing that substrate when you put the bed in, that might be one way to do that. At any rate, bettas and African cichlids, though, they both like fairly warm water, so I'm curious about how much you were thinking of changing the temperature. It might be something where you could keep the temperature at about the same level, possibly, and but the pH is something else. Anyway, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Hopefully I addressed most parts of it, but in general, I think your ideas are going on in the right way, but I would just say consider introducing more fish at a time, younger fish, but still go with the quarantine idea.
Okie dokie. So thank you, Mike, for sending us another message.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And we'll go to Sean in Asheville.
Yeah, Sean, last week he told us about his angelfish that had produced eggs.
Yeah, he sent us a picture.
And he sent us a picture. But then he sent another message saying a couple of things. One was that he didn't think he had eggs anymore.
Right.
So he's going to go ahead and...
Or fry. He doesn't have any fry.
Yeah, eggs or fry. But he didn't... he wasn't too worried about it, because even though it was sad, he figured it would probably happen again later. Mm-hmm. And that he's going to go ahead and overhaul the aquarium, take out the stem plants.
Yeah.
And then it's very likely that he'll get eggs again. So, you know, most, for those of you who may not know, most cichlids, or many cichlids at least, the first time or two that they spawn, they often don't quite know what's going on. And then after that, they will often do much better. And that's been my experience with various cichlids. Like the time I spawned cribs, cribensis, I think the first time they had fry, they had about 20 of them, and I think they ate them. Or was it the first time they laid eggs and then they ate the eggs?
I don't remember.
And then the next time they had about 20 fry and they ate them. And then the third time they had about 60 fry and didn't eat any of them. They all grew up.
Right.
Something like that. And that I had the same experience with other cichlids too. So it's very likely that something like that will happen. So he also said that he is ready to buy our book when it's ready. So
here you go.
It's ready. So maybe Sean will be our first customer.
That would be fun.
And you know what would be cool? We would love this. If you would send us pictures of you reading the book. You know,
put it on the Facebook page.
Put it on your iPhone, put it on your iDevice.
Share it on the Facebook
your
page.
Your Kindle, whatever device you have on your PC. Just send us a picture of you reading it.
That would be fun.
It on the front cover, you know, so that you can see it from in the picture that it's that's our book. And just put a picture of you reading our book. That would be so cool.
That would be fun.
Whoever buys it and wants to do so could do that. It would be a lot of fun. So yeah. I think that's about all we got for this week, really.
I think that is.
Okay, so thank you, Aquariumaxers, for all your support. Thank you again for inspiring this book. And may the fish
be with you.